So what shall I do with you, huh? We are here in a monastery. Yeah? And live a harmonious life. You know what harmonious is? Huh? Open your ears very well. Huh? A harmonious life in a monastery is that everybody is for himself. Eh? Be each one of us. Looks for the way out. He doesn't look what other people are doing. He looks out for himself. The only thing where we need to work together is when we help cleaning the monastery or taking care of the monastery. That's when we have to work together. If you still, you know, are in your kindergarten phase, you know, where you play around, yeah? Or if you're still in the phase of puberty, where you try to compete with each other, harass each other, bully each other. I mean, then this is not the place. This is the university. Yeah? A teacher is not there, you know, to reprimand the students. Yeah? I mean, the teacher in a university, you know, just teaches us the way and gives us some help on the path, yeah, of practice. Yeah? He doesn't punish us with a stick, you know. He doesn't punish us putting us out of the room because we didn't do this correctly. Yeah? I mean, harassing other people, that is not the way, yeah? Being angry at, yeah? If you want to be angry, then be angry at yourself, yeah? Also, you know, in school, if you remember, you know, I mean, taking this away from the other person, you know, to make them angry, or taking that away from the person to make them angry, this is not the way of this monastery. We are here. We've gone through these phases in our youth, you know, and now we are here to find the path out, yeah? And the path out of dukkha, yeah? The path out of existence. Not to play games, yeah? Not to compete with each other, huh? Not to, you know, not to make, you know, like we did in school, you know, we want to be the best, you know? Teacher, look at me, how good I am. That's not the way. Huh? And especially not looking down on other people, yeah? Or telling, teacher, I know what he did, yeah? That is not the way. We are here in harmony. Listen very carefully. We are here in harmony, and everybody strives for himself, yeah? And whatever, you know, is the work, you know, for keeping this monastery afloat, yeah? I mean, that's where we work together, yeah? Is that understood? Huh? We work together, yeah? We don't think this is the work of that other person, yeah? Or that is low work, yeah? I mean, actually, when you eat, you know, it's a movement of your hands or of your arms, yeah? When you wash your clothes, it's a movement of your arms, yeah? I mean, which movement of the arms is low work and which movement of the arms is higher work, huh? The same with, you know, with your footwork, yeah? I mean, what is this, yeah? Sweeping, you know, and cleaning, you know, and eating, you know, they don't differ, né? It's always movement of the body. I don't understand. I'm not a kindergarten teacher, yeah? Or I'm not a high school teacher, you know, who copes with all these property problems, yeah? Look at me, teacher, I'm better, you know? I mean, I want to be the favorite, yeah, of a teacher. That's not the way, huh? We compete, we strive for ourselves. We compete to find a way out. And especially in this monastery, we keep the 8 precepts. I said it before, yeah. I mean, what are the 5 basic precepts? Not to harm any living being, being in words or being in deeds. Harming. No harming. Yeah? Not taking what is not given. Yeah? I mean, there are 2 fridges. One is for the fridge for the monks, yeah? We as lay people, your oils, midges, we cannot take things out of the fridge, you know, for ourselves, yeah? That is designated for the monks. And if the fridge for the lay people, yeah, or for the midges, you know, I mean, if people write their names on it, then it is for these people. If somebody else takes it, it is called stealing. Stealing. Yeah? Taking something that doesn't belong to us. Yeah? It's a break of the 2nd precept. I mean, I talked about it before. Yeah? If a lay person puts something in, you know, even for the monks, you know, and writes his name on it, nobody else is allowed to take it. Yeah? I mean, we are here to keep the 5 precepts. Or do you want to go to hell? Especially, you know, in a monastery, especially where we don't earn our living, these little things, you know, I mean, can lead us to hell. Yeah? Is that understood? Yeah? The 3rd precept, you know, it's no sexual conduct. Yeah? The 4th precept, no lies and no harmful speech. Yeah? And the 5th precept, no alcohol, no drugs. Yeah? What is the 6th precept? Not eating after noon. Yeah? The 7th, no wearing ornaments and, you know, I mean, perfume and things like that. Yeah? Yeah? And the 8th precept, not sleeping on high beds, in comfortable beds. Yeah? And these, every one of us does this. Every one of us keeps this precept. Yeah? And we have one of the Dutankas here, we eat only once a day. Yeah? I mean, this frustrates me if I hear these things, yeah? This really frustrates me, yeah? No? Then I don't know why I'm here, yeah? I mean, I am able to show you the path out of dukkha, yeah? That's why I'm here. Yeah? I am able to help you with all the problems that you have in your practice, yeah? Yeah? I don't want to, you know, to look around what you are doing during the day if you behave like, you know, like 15-year-old, yeah? And do this and do that, you know, harm this person or harm that person, yeah? Yeah? This is not the place, you know, you should leave, yeah? I mean, if you're really in the mood of doing this to your other fellow, you know, practitioners, I mean, then you shouldn't be here. I don't understand. But there's always this. You know, I mean, even in the monasteries, yeah? I mean, there are two people that get along. And there are 3 people, yeah, they don't get along. Huh? And especially with women. Huh? Men, you know, I mean, the men have groups, you know, but they never fight like women. Women have a special way to fight, yeah? Huh? Of course they disagree, yeah? The men do disagree, but you know, it is much more harmonious than with the women, yeah? There's no way to fight, yeah? There's only one way to fight the kilesas, yeah? And the kilesas are ego. It's what we think we are, yeah? Looking down on something is the ego, yeah? Looking up to something, you know, is the ego. Compete with other people is the ego. Yeah? It's ourself that we think, you know, we are better than other people. Yeah? No? Or thinking this work is lower. It's ego. Yeah? This is what we have to fight. Yeah? This is what we are doing. Yeah? How are we doing it? Through sila. Yeah? Sila means, you know, keeping the 5 precepts. Yeah? Through samadhi, learning to make the mind completely calm until there is no more thought, until there is no more memory coming up. And then all these things disappear. Competition disappears. Fear disappears. Worries disappear. Loneliness disappears. That's where we are happy. In this state of mind, that's where we are happy. Where all these things, cease to exist. And that's why we need it, as a reference point, when we come back out of samadhi and, have to cope with the world. And then the next stage is the development of panya, of wisdom. To know that the body, to know that the body is not self. To know that the body, and the citta, are different things. To separate the citta out from the body. To see the body as loathsome. To see, not to make the body loathsome, to see it as it really is, and it is loathsome. You just need to take the skin away from the body and you will throw up, or you faint. That's all what is necessary. You don't have to make the body loathsome. You just need to look inside. And the experience of each medical practitioner is the same. Or be it a policeman, who sees a corpse, of a slaughtered person, he throws up when he first time sees it, Or a swollen up body, that is fished out of the sea or out of, it stinks. And that is what we love so much, Us itself, It's nothing else than a car. We use the car for our convenience. We use the body for our convenience because we want to create things, we want to think, we want to create this, the mental things, and we want to create, physical things. That's why we have this body, Just like we have a car, because we want to explore this area of the planet or that area of the planet. Oh, that's why we have also aeroplanes, or ships. That's why we have this body. But the body is not us, we inhabit the body, The problem is we are born in the body and die in the body. That's why we think we are the body, So get out of the body and look at the body and see that the body and self, and the citta are not the same, This is our work, Work is, first to keep the sila, I never saw Lungta Mahabua talking to the monks about sila. It was a prerequisite, Why do I have to talk about the sila? It's a prerequisite if you want to stay here, to keep it, It's the same for the monks, to keep the 227 rules, This is a prerequisite, And he never talked about it. When he gave a talk to the monks, he never talked about it. He only talked about samadhi and panya, Training the mind, Training the mind in samadhi until the mind really stops, Thinking and stops, Worrying and stops, all these things. That's it, that is our resting place, that is our safe place, safe house, Whenever the things, here in the monastery, whenever we get upset, and that is what is natural, of course we get upset, Why do we get upset? Because we look at other people and compare ourselves to other people, that's why we get upset. If we wouldn't look at other people, and just look at ourselves, we wouldn't get upset. We would only get upset ourselves how stupid we are. And that is what, we don't notice it, that's why we let it out on other people. We are stupid, What the other people do is their problem, is their business, It's not our business, What other people are doing. That is what we are here for, To look at ourselves, and then there is no problem, And then we take this reference point where there is no dukkha, And we see, all these dukkha is made, made by our thoughts and made by our feelings, and memories, that come up, And when we go into samadhi, there's nothing of this, So it's all, some sort of illusion, If you go deeper, until the whole sense world disappears, there's nothing left, the knowingness, the pure knowingness, the knowingness that doesn't know object, And then we see, when we come back in the world, you know how this world is created, you know, and see for ourselves and notice for ourselves, and that is a deep insight, yeah, that this world is nothing else than an illusion. Yeah? Just like people, you know, playing video games. Huh? That's why I call our life, you know, the video game of life. Yeah? It's nothing else. Once the game is over, you know, we play it again. And play it again. And sometimes we, you know, we change the personality, you know, we take another point, you know, sometimes we are woman, sometimes we are man, sometimes we are in the deva realm, sometimes we are in the ghost realm, and sometimes, yeah, most of the times we are actually in the hell realm. Yeah? And that's why we chose, you know, to come here to this place, you know, to find our way out of this mess. Yeah? And I want you, and I want that you put a lot of effort in it, yeah? And don't behave like people in puberty, yeah? I'm fed up, yeah? We are there, yeah? Living harmonious life. You remember the story of the Lord Buddha when he came to visit, yeah? Three bhikkhus, you know, who lived there, yeah? Who lived, yeah? How do you live together? Do you live a harmonious life? Yes, we live a harmonious life, yeah? Whoever comes first, you know, takes out, you know, the mats. Who comes next, you know, I mean, takes out, yeah, brings the spittoons, you know, and then takes the third one takes the water. There is no complaint, you know, he should do this and he should do that. Why is he not here? Why is he not there? Yeah? We see something, we do it, yeah? That is called harmonious life, living together, yeah? And taking care of each other. Have you understood that? Huh? Is that clear now? Hopefully. Yeah? Are there some questions from you? Yeah? From the monks or from the lay people? Huh? It's a time to ask, huh, if you have some questions. Yeah? Otherwise, you know the opportunity after the meal or after Panna, you can come and, you know, ask the question personally to me. Yeah. Okay, so then go ahead.
So in the last meeting you said that life is like a computer game. Mm-hmm. And this person asked, before we get caught up in a computer game, someone has to create the game for us first. Can the chitta create its own game?
Of course. Yeah. We all, how are computer games created? By people who are interested, you know, in this, you know, they sit together, you know, they create the games, they create the rules of the games, you know, and we all took part of it, yeah? And then we all chipped in, yeah? I mean, we had this idea and we had this idea. But the basic rules of our video game is the five precepts, yeah? And, you know, if you don't keep the five precepts, then what is going to happen to you, yeah? Or if you make a lot of, you know, merit in it, what is going to happen to you? It is, yeah, of course, our chitta, yeah? In combination with millions and billions of other chittas created this game, yeah? Because they love to play, you know, just like children. Remember when we were children, we were playing games with our neighbors, yeah? We created new games, huh? Yeah, so how can we not create this game, yeah? It looks very realistic, you know, it seems very realistic, yeah, and, yeah, we create it. But that is a long, long time ago, yeah? What did the Lord Buddha say about the first human beings? They were just made out of earth, yeah? And when they lost their strength, they ate, you know, they took a, you know, piece of earth and ate it, yeah? That's why they regained. And we refined ourselves. Yeah? We became so complicated over the time. Yeah? Each time, you know, we refine ourselves, the human beings, we refine. You know, we change this, you know, to make it more complex. Yeah, just like, I mean, if, you know, some of the older people remember the first video games. There was no graphic, you know, there was just text games. Yeah, or line games, you know, I mean, all these things. Yeah, Pac-Man or... Huh? Yeah, and then over the time they're sophisticated. Huh? we do it. And the next, you know, the next generation of human beings will be more sophisticated, huh? Or sometimes less sophisticated. Yeah? There will be generations of human beings that are not as sophisticated as us. Yeah? They haven't had the level of education yet. So, yes, we create this body, you know, we create the environment that we live in, and we created this game with all the rules, yeah? And everybody has to adhere to these rules, yeah? Okay, next question.
If this world is created by the citta, why do we not see anyone gaining control over the world by matter of will, since the arahants still have to deal with the bodhi dukkha?
Why do we not
see anyone taking control of this world? Like the arahants still have bodhi dukkha,
yeah,
and they cannot escape this bodhi dukkha. But if this world is created by the citta itself, someone has pure citta.
Yeah, but as long as you have the body, I mean, you will have the dukkha. Yeah? I mean, you decided to get into, yeah? I mean, in the video game, you can choose, you know, I mean, it depends on the video game. You have to play to the end until the game is over, yeah? And then you have to experience the things, you know, in the game, yeah? If it is a shooting game, it's very easy. You just stand in the middle, you know, and let other people shoot you, and then the game is over, yeah? But that is not normally with this game, yeah? There is nobody who can control this world. Yeah? Because it's a creation of all beings. Yeah? And not only human beings. Yeah? Well, the devas, you know, are in this world as well. Yeah? I mean, at the tip of the iceberg, there are the gods of creation and the gods of destruction, who creates all these planetary things. Yeah? One creates it, and the other destroys it. So, I mean, there is nobody, no single person, there is no single, not person, yeah? There is no single being, you know, who can control this, yeah? We created it together and we live by the rules, yeah? Okay? And if you take a trip, you know, if you have a boat and take a trip, you know, in the middle of the ocean, yeah, I mean, you will have to go to the end of, yeah, until you find land. Yeah.
How did the original thought arise, and are the original and pure citta of the arahant the same? If so, how can we make sure that samsara doesn't happen again after that?
How can samsara happen again after enlightenment?
Yeah, so the person is great. There was an original thought, right? And then
the Lord Buddha gave us a very clear answer about this. Don't ask how the world was created, because it only makes you crazy. Ask yourself how to get out of the mess. Yeah? I mean, I give a very drastic example. Yeah? You are in a huge shit hole, yeah? And then somebody, an arahant, comes by who has gotten you, has climbed out of the shit hole, and then the first question you ask this person: how did I get into the shit hole? Ha! Huh? No, you ask him how to get out. You're not interested how you got into this mess. You are interested how do you be able to get out of this mess. Even thinking about this, you know, makes you crazy. You know, I mean, what is the beginning of this whole, yeah? How did the chittas, you know, got from Nibbana, you know, into this mess, yeah? I have no idea. And I am not interested at all. I want to get out. That's because that's what I feel, yeah? I feel the dukkha, yeah? I feel this, yeah? And I don't want to be born again. Yeah? Yeah? And you can be sure, you know, when you become an arahant, that you never, ever, ever, yeah? This is so clear, yeah? You'll be born again. You rest in eternity. Okay, next.
When I'm concentrating, still thoughts and ideas pop up, but the concentration is fair and I see the feelings are trying to pull me out. Something strange happens where I'm seeing intelligent beings. When this happens, all the stress arrives. Last time I was shocked out of my meditation because it was scary. Is this the kilesas getting very tricky?
What? I mean, I want to understand what he means with intelligent beings.
Oh, well, I guess
I mean, if he sees ghosts, you know, if he sees devas, you know, I mean, of course it can be scary the first time, yeah? So he has to tell himself, you know, I mean, next time, you know, when I see these beings, I ask them, what do they want, you know, or why do they come in? Just like any visitor, you know, who knocks at your door, yeah, at your home, yeah? You ask him, if you don't know him, you ask him, what does he want? No? Or you're scared of him? Yeah? It's a being. Yeah? It's just like us, yeah? We are just inhabiting different bodies. Yeah? So, I mean, that is something that he should, yeah, tell himself, yeah? Ask, yeah? Ask this being, you know, he can ask him in his thoughts, you know, what does he want, yeah? I mean, if it's a ghost, he wants matter, you know? If it's a deva, you know, he might, I don't know what he wants, yeah? He also wants matter, yeah? Remind me when I was in a cave, you know, whenever I came out of the cave, the devas complained, why didn't you do more metta? Yeah? I said, I've done enough, you know, now I want to do some walking meditation. Yeah? They do complain, you know, yeah? They love to be with beings who have metta, yeah? And the ghosts are attracted to beings who have metta, yeah? Because that is some sustenance, yeah, for them, yeah? They can live off it. It's just like food, yeah? And that's normally what they want, yeah? Unless you have some dispute from previous life with them, then they might want something else, yeah? And then you ask them what the problem is. Yeah? You can ask them, yeah? They're just like beings. Okay, next.
Is there a formula in Buddhism that when one does a good action, one can dedicate it and get instant karma?
No. It is, yeah, is there any farmer who plants something, you know, who gets instant fruits, yeah? Huh? That would be nice, you know, you put an apple, you know, you put the, what is it, the seed of an apple, you know, into the earth and it, whoops, it grows in front of your eyes and then you can harvest the apple, yeah? Yeah? Huh? That's a long time, you know, I mean, seed of rice, you know, or even salad, you know, yeah? It takes some time to grow, yeah? And it's the same thing with the fruits of good karma. And it's the same thing holds true for bad karma. A lot of people think it's instant karma. There is no instant karma, yeah? Okay, next question.
Are there times in which one should not be focusing on the Buddha? Like, for example, in a conversation or when one is driving,
yeah.
The person is asking if he...
Oh, if he's driving alone, he can use a Buddha. Yeah, but if he's in a conversation, you cannot use Buddha, but he can use the breath. He could use the breath. Yeah, that makes you very aware of the thoughts that you have, what you want to say. Yeah, when you are with the breath, yeah, it can make you very aware. You know, when you speak, yeah? that is the advantage of Anapanasati. Yeah? Okay, next question.
I'm curious, when you refer to the heart, is that the knowingness or the location of the physical heart, or both?
No, I mean, when I refer to the heart, you know, sometimes I say chitta, yeah? Chitta and heart, yeah, are one and the same thing. I refer not to the physical, but the chitta is located between the physical heart and the lungs, yeah? And there, you know, it operates the body from. So when I refer to the heart, sometimes I refer to the emotional part of the heart. You know, when I refer to the mind, I refer to the emotional parts of the citta. When I refer to the mind, I refer to the more rational parts of the citta. Yeah. Everything is within the citta. The citta is the creator. Yeah. Before anything happens, before any movement happens, before any thought happens, the citta has to be, yeah, has to be active, yeah, and to initiate the thoughts, initiate the memories, initiate the feelings, anything, yeah. Okay.
What sort of thing normally aggravates oneself in regard to testing whether or not one is tired?
Tired?
Yeah, if one is tired, what can one do to...
to think about, you know, a situation, you know, where one got very angry, yeah? That's always good, you know, you're awake, yeah. Or think about any situation that aggravates you, you know, think about your childhood, you know, when somebody treated you badly, you know. I wouldn't use lust, you know, this is very dangerous, you know, especially in our life, you know, as mendicants, yeah.
I'm eating only one meal before noon and a small snack in the afternoon, but when I'm eating even a small meal, I notice notable fogginess.
What?
He's noticing fogginess.
Yeah?
It's getting foggy. Do you have any recommendation?
Yeah, eat less. I mean, if you eat so much, yeah? I mean, all the energy, you know, of the body is in the digestive tracts, yeah? And then of course, you know, it becomes very heavy. The mind becomes very heavy. Yeah. I think there's even a German saying, isn't there? Yeah. Ein voller Bauch studiert nicht gern. Yeah. Well, that was from the student times. Yeah. Maybe the Germans remember it. Yeah. Maybe it didn't go past the German borders into Switzerland. So, I mean, when your stomach is full, yeah? I mean, if you only eat one meal, yeah? I mean, it takes, you know, I mean, if you eat a real meal, you know, it takes 2 hours, you know, I mean, to digest it, you know, and then slowly the energy also from the meal, you know, comes back together, you know, with the energy that you previously had, yeah? So if you eat half a meal, you know, I mean, you have much more energy, yeah? That is the reason why we do some fasting. You know, we fast, you know, I mean, so that we don't have this fogginess. But normally, you know, each time, you know, we eat something, there is some sort of fogginess, you know, there is some sort of difference. You know? But what we can do in these cases, you know, but people, you know, in living in the city don't have the opportunity. What we can do is, you know, after the meal, yeah, having, you know, walking chakram, yeah. And Luther talked about it, you know, he said, you know, I mean, yeah, when he looked at his monks, he said, yeah, I mean, after the meal, they are like heavy ships, heavy laden ships, you know, that cannot go out of the harbor, you know, they sink before they go out of the harbor into the sea, yeah. There's nothing you can do except eat less, yeah, and see, you know, where the limit is, yeah. I mean, then sometimes you feel hungry in the evening, and then observe the hunger. It's a feeling, yeah? And it comes and it goes, yeah? Okay?
That's encouraging. Getting into a meditation schedule is 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon or evening, enough to prepare to cope with monastic training, given 1 year to make the jump to monastic life.
Ah, that's quite good, yeah? Do a little bit more on the weekends, yeah? Maybe in the afternoon 1 hour, yeah? 6 hours is quite good, yeah? Especially, you know, especially if you still live in the world, you know, and still have to work, yeah? Okay, next.
I've taken out the 8 precepts because I see the benefit of perfecting virtue. Is there any other rules I could take up in the lay life to increase virtue?
Increase virtue, not to have any harmful thoughts. Yeah? I mean, or replace the harmful thoughts, you know, the spiteful thoughts, you know, with good thoughts. Yeah? Yeah, instead of wishing somebody harm, you know, you wish him well. Yeah, that's what you can do in lay life. Yeah, and that's what we should do here in the monastery as well. Can't believe. Okay, next.
What is your opinion on the metta practice as a tool to generate piti and sukha and to lower one's anger and fear?
Slowly and more clear.
What is your opinion on the metta practice as a tool to generate piti and sukha and to lower one's anger and fear? It is also said in the suttas that it can lead to the arupa jhanas. It's helping me a lot, but I'm not sure if you recommend it.
I mean, if you're in lay life, you know, I mean, I would recommend it, you know. If you're a hardcore practitioner, I wouldn't recommend it, yeah. I mean, it attracts too many people. people come because they feel it, you know. I mean, also ghosts, you know, and devas come, you know, if they feel, you know, you have a lot of metta. But, you know, I mean, for a lay person, you know, having metta, you know, having metta once a day, you know, I mean, practicing for half an hour, I mean, it's good, yeah. It reduces some of the anger that we have, yeah? But metta without wisdom, you know, I mean, he has to develop some wisdom, you know, especially if he sees his anger or his agitation coming up, yeah, then investigate that, yeah, and turn that into something positive. Yeah? Just the question, you know, to ask yourself, what can I do with this, yeah? I mean, when you see the anger, what can I do? What can I learn from it, yeah? Or when you see lust coming up, or when you see greed coming up, or when you see this coming up, yeah, what can I learn from this? Yeah? Or when I see difficulties in life coming up, you know, what can I learn from this? Yeah? I mean, it is so helpful. Yeah? Okay? Wow, there are lots of questions.
Instead of focusing on the breath at the tip of the nose, I focused on sinking the Buddha with the breath to the physical heart. I felt way calmer and less irritation than the breath, but also felt less concentrated. I wonder if you could elaborate and why you felt calmer but less focused.
Because he probably doesn't stay on a point, yeah? That is why he seems to be less focused. Huh? When we have anapanasati, when we are around the tip of the nose, then we have a point of reference. Huh? I mean, when we are only with the Buddha, then we have also the point of reference. We see whenever the mind wants to move away from the Buddha and go to another place. Huh? So if he use Buddha with breathing in and do with breathing out, I mean, he should concentrate still on the Buddha. Yeah. Or he can also take, you know, the nose as the point of reference. Huh? This is why, you know, he feels calmer because it works better for him, because his mind is so busy, you know, that he needs two crutches, you know, to come to the calm. That is perfectly fine. But he feels less focused because he doesn't have a very stable point, yeah? He doesn't have an anchor. Hmm? It's like when you're in the ocean and you don't throw your anchor, you drift in every direction without even noticing, because you don't have reference. You know? And that's the same thing. Okay, next.
I practice breath and Buddha together, and also try to be aware of the breath with counting from 1 to 100 with each inhale.
No, don't count. No, please. No.
So that works quite well for him, and then he's asking if he can continue.
I mean, if he needs to count, yeah? I mean, he has three crutches, yeah? I mean, here's the Buddha, here's the breath, and here's counting. If he wants to count, then count from 1 to 10, yeah? To 100, he gets lost, you know, and then he has to think about where was I, yeah? So. But the Buddha and the breath are normally, you know, enough, yeah? He also should, you know, he also should use to listen to talks, you know? And there he can probably just concentrate on the words, yeah? It makes it easier to get the mind calm. And once he got his mind calm, then he can practice Buddha or breath or both of them together. Okay?
And last question. When meditating, is it okay to have tensions? Or is there something wrong with it?
Tensions? I mean, bodily tension, of course it is okay, you know, to have bodily tension. But what I would suggest is that in the beginning you sit comfortable, so that you know you can sit comfortable. Yeah? And then, I mean, as long as there are tensions, you know, he doesn't have to worry. Yeah? When it becomes pain, you know, when he cannot concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath anymore, then he should investigate, you know, Dukkha Vedana. Yeah? I mean, some of these tensions will become pain, yeah. Sooner or later, yeah, but in the beginning. The problem with most people is, you know, I mean, they look at all the things that occur, yeah? I mean, as if they have never, yeah? As if they have never opened the Pandora's box, yeah? I mean, whatever is in the Pandora's box, you know, it's there, you know, it has been there all the time, yeah? I mean, we feel tension, you know. I mean, you just need to close your eyes, you know, and you feel tensions, yeah? Or you have feelings, or you have this, or you have that, yeah? And it, but we don't notice it because, you know, we live in our mind, you know, most, especially when we come from the West, yeah? Huh? I mean, we only notice the body when it's not well, you know, and then we go to the repair station, what we call doctor or hospital, to repair it, and then we live in our mind, yeah? We don't notice the body. And the moment we start practicing, we suddenly, we have a body. So there's tensions, there's feelings, there's this, there's that. Wow, didn't even notice it for the last 40 or 20 years, huh? Boy. Okay. All these things, huh? They have been there all the time, you know, huh? Just because, yeah, I mean, it is, what is the other example I bring, yeah? I lived in America for 2 years, so, I mean, I saw the people, you know, driving to a beautiful park, you know, sitting in there, you know, stuffed station wagon, you know, with the radio on and their food on their knee, in their lap, you know, and enjoying the nature, yeah? Huh? That is how we live in this world, yeah? I mean, if they stop the radio, if they shut down the engine, you know, and the air conditioner, and then the engine, and open the windows, they would notice, you know, nature. But they don't do it. It is with us, you know, shutting down our mind engine, you know, we suddenly realize there are so many things that we have never been aware of. Okay. Okay, any more questions? Any other questions? You know, otherwise then we adjourn the meeting, yeah? Adjourn? Huh?
Adjourn
the meeting. You have to forgive me, in 2 or 3 years, you know, I speak all 3 languages, a mix of all 3 languages. I don't know. My English gets worse and worse and worse over here. When I speak German, I can't remember some words, and I only remember the Thai words. Yeah. Same with English. And I remember only the German word. Or the Thai word.